verses 7 and 8. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says there, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Hebrews chapter number 13, my text, verse number 8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Now, verse number 7, and I've already preached using this, a portion of this as a text, but "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." I was dealing with this idea of the commemoration of spiritual leaders. And somebody might say, "Well, I've seen a plaque to a pastor or a former pastor. I've seen a spiritual leader whose name was on a building." And there can be different ways that people may commemorate spiritual leaders. Let me give you a few simple ideas. I dealt with this some already, but number one, remember them, and especially remember them in relationship to truths that they taught you from the Word of God. Then number two, obey them. Obey them as they have obeyed God in giving you the good Word of God. Then as well, submit yourselves to them as they submitted themselves unto the Lord and gave you the Word of God. Consider the end of their conversation. Where does their way end? If you follow their way, where does their way end? Consider the end of the conversation and follow their faith. Follow their faith, not their faults, not their failures, but follow their faith. And sometimes people may show how little they really believe in the Word of God because of the fact that they hear the Word of God and they do not do the Word of God. And sometimes I think the people show a real disrespect for the man of God that has given them the Word of God because they refuse to obey the Word of God. Now, in this case, the Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." But then verse number 8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." The unchanging Jesus Christ, the immutable Jesus Christ. Now, it is a fact, of course, that mortal spiritual leaders, they have their faults, they have their failures, they become feeble, and eventually they fade off the scene, they go off the scene. So often a person is in service of the Lord, he continues in service of the Lord, then eventually, if he doesn't fall before then, he just gets older, cannot serve the Lord as he had at one time, and finally he passes on. But thank the Lord, we have a spiritual leader that does not have any faults, does not have any failures. We have a spiritual leader that never grows feeble. We have a spiritual leader that continues on forever, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now we have one high priest. That great high priest is still in office. Even though that high priest did that great priestly work and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he is still the great high priest. We have one apostle. And that apostle, of course, is Jesus Christ. One apostle that is still in that position. That apostle still cares daily for the churches. That apostle is still in the midst of the golden candlesticks. That apostle still knows the works of the individual churches. That apostle, Jesus Christ, is on the job today. So we have that one great high priest. We have that one apostle today. And thank the Lord that Jesus Christ continues on forever. Now, mortal spiritual leaders are limited in their abilities, limited in their longevity. A man may be a good man, but God takes good men. But thank the Lord we have a shepherd, a good shepherd, a great shepherd that always oversees his sheep. He makes his sheep to lie down in green pastures. He leads his sheep beside the still waters. He restores the souls of his sheep. Our great shepherd is able to lead a sheep all the way through the valley of the shadow of death successfully and safely. He is a shepherd of my soul. Unlike earthly and mortal under shepherds. He has never sinned. He does not sin. He shall not sin. He is the perfect shepherd of the sheep. Sometimes a person may be looking at an under shepherd, seeing faults in the under shepherd. Well, follow the under shepherd as he follows Christ. Follow the under shepherd as he has faith in Christ and lives in accordance with the Word of God. But always be looking to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now somebody may say, well, this Jesus Christ did not always appear in the same form. Now Christ is the Christ of eternity past. And Christ is the Christ of eternity present. And Christ is the Christ of eternity future. Christ is the eternal Christ. Is always the same Christ. Even though at times there have been different forms. I do believe that Jesus Christ appeared unto Abraham in a pre-incarnate form or forms. I believe that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate form of Christ. And I don't know exactly what he looked like at the time, but I believe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Some may disagree with me, but I believe that's the way it was. And so we have the form or forms of Jesus Christ in theophanies, in the Old Testament Scriptures, in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman." And in that case, of course, God provided a body. Jesus Christ spoke about it. And you go to the book of Hebrews, and in fact, you go to Psalms. God had prepared a body. There was a particular body for Christ. Exactly what the body was like, I do not know. We have no pictures of Christ, and we have no true portraits of Christ. And by the way, let me say this. If God had wanted to inspire a picture of Jesus Christ, He could have inspired a picture of Jesus Christ. He could have given us a picture so that we would have known exactly what He looked like. He could have given a book of pictures. He could have shown us Jesus as a baby. And Jesus as a boy. And Jesus as a man. But thank God, He inspired the Word of God. And so we have word pictures of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ look like? I don't know. I suspect He looked like His mother. He didn't have an earthly father. So I suspect He bore a great resemblance to Mary. But I don't know what Mary looked like either. Now, He had a particular form in His earthly body here while He was here before the crucifixion. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2 and beginning with verse number 6, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now notice these words in that passage. The form of a servant. The likeness of men. In fashion as a man. God gave Him a particular form as He was here before the crucifixion. He was crucified. Physically, of course, He was tremendously and terribly marred by that crucifixion and the suffering that came even before the crucifixion took place. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He came forth from the grave with a glorified body. But even in that form, the Bible tells us that Christ appeared in a different form, or even in that time. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 12, After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked. But it was still the same Christ. It was still the same Christ when He appeared to Abraham. It was still the same Christ when He took on the body of a baby. Still the same Christ when He hung upon a cross and was crucified. It's still the same Christ in the glorified body, whatever form it took. He was still the same Christ. Now, Jesus Christ ascended after the resurrection, after some time with His disciples, Jesus Christ ascended, and the Lord had a message for those disciples. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. This same Jesus. John gives us a record, and it is a limited record, because it was not the will of God for John to write everything about Jesus. But John gave us a record which especially deals with Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. John also, in the book of 1 John, gave us some information about Christ, the one that was touched, handled, looked upon, this same Jesus. Then we have in the book of the Revelation, God gave to John a revelation of Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ in heaven, this same Jesus. And it is this same Jesus that is coming back to rule and reign upon the earth, and it is this same Jesus that is going to go into the eternal kingdom after every enemy has been subdued. Jesus Christ is going to turn His kingdom over to the Father, and we shall begin the eternal kingdom. This same Jesus. Now, there are a few ways that we may speak about Jesus Christ. And in considering some of the ways that we may speak of Jesus Christ, I also want you to consider the character of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the indestructibility of Christ. Thank God for the immutability of Christ. Thank God for the eternality of Christ. But I want you to consider especially, and thank God for this, the holy and consistent character of Christ. It can be hard to trust a Christ that was one way one day and another way another day. It can be hard to trust a Christ that at one time said, this is right, and then another time said, no, that's not right, and this is right. It would be hard to trust a Christ that said, I promise you this, and then the next day took back the promise and said, I refuse to honor that promise. Thank God we have an unchanging Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. First of all, let's consider Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In that expression, the Lamb of God, we have the great expression of the love of God. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. I know we may speak about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But there was also the love of Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now, the Bible talks about the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse number 8. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. I believe that even before the fall, it was predestined, it was predetermined that Jesus Christ would give Himself for sinners. The Bible says in the book of Acts, in chapter number 2 and verse 23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I believe before Adam fell, before the first sin was committed, it was determined that Jesus Christ was to be the Lamb of God, the Savior for sinners. In fact, as far as Jesus Christ in that time, I personally believe that it was probably a pre-incarnate form of Christ that was in the garden with Adam and spoke to Adam in the garden. Now we have where the Scripture speaks about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. When Jesus Christ was upon the earth in His earthly body, the Bible says in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then if we go far ahead to the book of the Revelation, after the time of the rapture, after the time of the tribulation period, after the millennial kingdom, the Bible speaks about the everlasting kingdom and the holy city, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Revelation 22 and verse number 1, the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22 and verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. The very idea that Jesus Christ is called the Lamb speaks about the Lamb in the eternal kingdom, the everlasting kingdom, the Father's kingdom. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is going to be a continual reminder to you and I that Jesus Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. The Antichrist, during the tribulation period, is going to give a very poor imitation. I believe it is speaking of the Antichrist in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 13. The one that is like a lamb with two horns, but speaks as a dragon. Imagine one trying to be like the lamb, but at the same time speaking like the devil. But thank the Lord, we have a Lamb of God that is perfectly pure. And I shall be with the Lamb. When I go up into heaven, I'll be with the Lamb. I'll continue on with the Lamb here upon the earth in the kingdom. And I'll go on to be with the Lamb in the everlasting kingdom, the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. And then secondly, the living Word. We may speak about Jesus Christ as the living Word, and I think that that may help us to see the everlasting truthfulness of Christ, the Lamb of God, the everlasting love of Christ, the living Word, the everlasting truthfulness of Christ. John chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we might say that God spoke the Word, and when Jesus was here, His earthly body, that He lived the Word. Now that, we might say, well, that's an oversimplification. I admit it is a mystery. There are things that I believe you and I, we may understand some things about them, but not completely comprehend them. But God spoke the Word, and Jesus Christ fulfilled, He lived the Word as He lived here upon the earth. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I can speak of those things, but that does not mean I fully comprehend those things. But I do believe this. The living Word, the fact that Jesus Christ is a living Word, can be a reminder to you and I of the everlasting truthfulness of Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the written Word shall not fail. God has preserved His written Word. And Jesus Christ is eternal, and Jesus Christ is eternally truthful. There's not a promise in the Word of God that'll fail. There's no word, no promise given by Jesus Christ that shall fail. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 3, the brightness of God's glory, or speaks of the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of His person. Jesus said to Philip, John chapter number 14 and verse number 9, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. Do you want to see God? Look to Jesus. Do you want to see how God would have a man live upon this earth? Look to Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, fulfilled the will, the Word of God. God's Word took a form and walked upon this earth. Way back in the Old Testament law, the Bible tells us about Moses, the great lawgiver. Moses, of course, came down from the mount with the tables of stone and the law written upon the tables of stone, or portions of the law written upon the tables of stone. The people, of course, were in rebellion, wickedness, nakedness. He cast down those tables, and those tables were broken. Well, he ended up going back. And God gave him more tables. And Moses took those tables, and those tables were preserved in the Ark of the Covenant, along with Aaron's rod that budded and the golden pot with manna. All of those pictures of Jesus Christ. In the ark, there were the unbroken tables of the law. By Moses breaking the tables of the law, the first tables of the law, there is a picture there of the first Adam breaking the law. But the second Adam came, and he did not break the law of God. Everything He said was right. Everything He said was truthful. The living Word. I believe it can be a reminder to you and I of the everlasting truthfulness of Christ. And then, the living bread. We may talk about Jesus Christ as the living bread. And in considering Jesus Christ as the living bread, let us consider the fact that there is that everlasting spiritual nourishment in Christ. Now, John chapter number 6, John chapter number 6, I believe, puts an emphasis upon what happens when a person gets saved by the grace of God. In John chapter number 6, and beginning with verse number 32, the Bible says, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said he unto, or said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth in Me shall never thirst. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give, or that I will give, is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. When I was 19 years of age, I partook of the living bread. And I shall live forever. I have never had a God-given hunger or thirst for everlasting life since I got saved. In other words, the Holy Spirit has never moved in me to come to Christ as the Lord and Savior since I got saved. That doesn't mean I didn't have some doubt. But still, it was not the Holy Spirit that was moving in me to come to Christ as Savior after I got saved. That was satisfied, totally and forever satisfied, when I partook the first time of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But since the time of my salvation, I've had great need for spiritual nourishment. I've had the need to feed on Christ. I have had the need to draw from Christ the spiritual nourishment, the spiritual strength that I need. In the book of Exodus in chapter number 12, the Bible speaks about the Passover meal, that simple Passover meal. The Bible talks about the roasted lamb, the unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs, and I believe that every one of those speak of Christ, point to Christ. And those people were to partake of the lamb and partake of the bread, partake of the bitter herbs, so that they would be ready to go. And if you and I are going to live as we ought to live on this side before God takes us home, we need to be partaking of Christ, drawing from Christ the spiritual nourishment that we need. Then number four, the light of the world. Sometimes we may speak about Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Well, Jesus Christ did speak of Himself as the light of the world. Book of John, chapter number 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 23 says, And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who gave light back in Genesis 1? Well, it was the Creator Christ that gave that light. And Jesus Christ, when He was here upon the earth, was the light of the world. And then you go all the way over to the holy city, and the Lamb shall be the light thereof. Now realize that I'm speaking about Jesus Christ is the light of the world. There's a spiritual light. Then there's physical light. But still, the fact is, Jesus Christ is the source for spiritual enlightenment. And so, in Christ, I believe, I shall have everlasting spiritual enlightenment. Now, by the grace of God, I can walk in the light as He is in the light. And I can have fellowship with Him. And you can too if you're saved by the grace of God. You can have spiritual enlightenment now, and you can have spiritual enlightenment forever. Everlasting spiritual enlightenment. Then, the ever-living intercessor. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession. I have an everlasting intercessor. The reason why my salvation is secure, it is because my Savior is eternal. He is not like an earthly high priest that is going to pass away, but thank God, I have an everlasting, an ever-living intercessor. Then as well, and I may have to move quickly, the way We may speak about Jesus Christ as the way. John chapter number 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way. I know the way to heaven. I know the way to heaven because I know Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. I know the way, and the way knows me. Now imagine if you knew the way to get somewhere, and the road knew you, and you worked together. I know the way, and the way knows me. Now, the way, Jesus Christ, the way, I think that could remind us of the fact that there is everlasting direction. We don't have to be lost in life, and I'll not be lost in the afterlife, because I shall be right with God, and He shall always be the way. Then as well, the life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. 1 John 5:12, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And considering Jesus Christ the life, let us understand that Jesus Christ is the everlasting life. Eternal life, everlasting life. John chapter number 1, verse number 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the life. I have everlasting life because I have the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And so, I shall never perish. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. I have life in Christ. And then, last of all, the Lord. We may talk about Jesus Christ as the Lord. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10, verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll have an everlasting Lord in Jesus Christ. I've spoken about the time to come in which Jesus Christ shall turn His kingdom over to the Father, and that is true. In fact, if you will, go to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, there's some interesting verses here, beginning with verse 24. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, Jesus Christ is going to do that. Put down all rule, all authority, all power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet, but when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifested that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued to Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. After the rapture, the tribulation period, the millennial kingdom, and when all the enemies, even death, has been defeated, when all the enemies have been put under Christ, as it might be said, then Christ is going to turn the kingdom over to the Father. But He'll still be my Lord. I'll be under the Father and the Son then. He'll still be my Lord, forever my Lord. Thank the Lord that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank the Lord that I have a Savior. He's not going to die. He's not going to grow feeble. He's not going to fail. I started out early along, I was speaking about earthly spiritual leaders. We have some instruction about them. But thank God, no matter what an earthly spiritual leader does, and sometimes earthly spiritual leaders may greatly disappoint you, always look to Christ. He is everlasting. He is always truthful. He is always loving. He's always holy. Consistent, holy, and wholly consistent. Thank God for that great shepherd of the sheep. Well, if you will, please stand.